Hi, this is Fabrice Lapeltre for Creative Disturbance Project Pioneers and Pathbreaker channel. I'm a French art historian. My guest today is the British curator, writer and researcher Bronagh Ferran. We are today with the English writer Rich Ganley to speak about his relationships with the artist engineer Frank Molina in the late 50s and in the 60s. So let's talk now about Frank Molina at work. Have you seen Frank Molina working at his Lumodyne or electro painting?
Yes.
And how he works at the time?
He worked in a way, if you picture an inventor might work as a prototype. He was extremely skilled with his hands. He was always very careful. He knew when it came to the technology of each work exactly what he was going to do and how it would be done. And this can be well seen, if you can see, or well thought of, or well imagined. If you can think of the men he surrounded himself with, who he taught how to actually build the structures of these works of art. You take Reggie Weston, even Vic Gray, Nino Canos, myself to a lesser extent. He taught us how to make them. And by the way, the technical apparatus was quite extraordinarily simple. Projected light through a turning disc, through a transparent screen, ending up on a translucent screen, and the whole thing, object not much deeper than, 8 inches, 10 inches maybe. And then you plugged it into a wall, and on came the lights, and it ran, and it seemed to cool itself somehow, generate, not get overheated, and have a long life, and that was it. It wasn't much more than that. He pursued the creation of these works with extraordinary care and deep, deep concentration. He didn't welcome interruption at all. And then he was very open to what you thought. And I think in a curious way, this probably does show something of the scientist in his blood coming out, because he always welcomed a discussion. He wanted to know what you thought, if an improvement could be made. Few of us, I think, ventured an opinion because Frank seemed to get it right. And he also, I think, you could say, was so brilliant at thinking up these constructions that it enabled him to be quite remarkably prolific. I don't know now how many of these works of art exist, but I would imagine they go in the many hundreds.
Oh, yes, 250.
Yeah, well, that is quite extraordinary.
Yes.
Quite extraordinary. Because they took time, and he did need some help if he was going to produce the work he did. He was very driven. He was always quite extraordinarily generous with his ideas, as he was as a man. It's very much in the nature of the Molina family, generosity and kindness towards others, hugely supportive, open to new ideas of every sort. Worked quite extraordinarily hard at what he did. I don't think he was a man who sat down and sort of, as it were, gazed at the wall. Not at all. Frank was always busy. There was always something. He wanted to know what other people. He was incredibly curious about other people. He read voraciously newspapers, magazines of all sorts, particularly scientific journals. And it was not a surprise to me in the end that he began Leonardo as, you could say, a quasi-scientific journal of art and science. and that, in a way, remains a quite remarkable monument to this day. His life and thought and times and his quite extraordinary contribution. Frank Molyneux was a very great man, there's no doubt about it, and a great artist. And just as now, artists' reputations can be built overnight, in those days it took some time, and sometimes it does take a long time. I mean, for example, one of the people who came round to chess, I'm absolutely sure came round to the chess evening, was Cy Twombly. Well, you look at Cy Twombly's, he was a charming man. I remember him, although there seems to be no mention of him in visitors' books, I'm absolutely certain he was there. But it's not been since, really, his death, or just prior to it, that he's been established as a great artist, which undoubtedly he is. I would put Frank on the same level.
Can you tell us now about Frank's legacy today with the development of technology in art? It's very important. So
yes. I think Frank's legacy will turn out to be, it hasn't yet, will turn out to be enormous. I think the reason that we don't know about it at the moment is that it's unburied treasure. After all, a treasure is never a treasure until it's discovered. And Frank's legacy is a treasure, and it hasn't been discovered. I think there are several reasons to this, probably. One is that Frank was an American scientist of very, very great distinction, who then changed his career, which he pursued at UNESCO, and then changed it again and became an artist. I said he was an American, but he settled in Paris, and that is where he operated. I think that when he decided to embark on yet another career, which was to establish Leonardo, because he was dissatisfied with the so-called science of aesthetics, he didn't approve of the standard of art criticism. By the way, I should add, was at that particular moment at an all-time low. I mean, with the exception possibly of Rosenberg, Greenberg in the United States, possibly John Berger in this country, really, there was no one writing so-called art criticism of any worth at all in my book. And I think Frank saw that and felt rather appalled by the situation, and really quite rightly. Leonardo, as we know, is living and well and thriving, and that's a very good thing. But I think it's important that Frank's legacy, and particularly his works, be preserved, and proper conservation take place, as I'm very sure it will, and that finally, in all its glory, and I use the word advisedly, in all its glory, it's seen by the world at large. At the moment, I don't think it's possible to walk into an art gallery, as many thousands of people do a day in this country, and see a single one. I may be mistaken. I don't know whether the same is true in Paris or in New York City or in Los Angeles, but more's the pity. However, I'm absolutely certain that over the next decade that situation will not continue, and that his work will be very widely known indeed and get the reception that it well deserves. The only sadness is that he's not allowed to see it.